Hey everyone, I'm excited to announce that you can now support me and my work on patreon.com/latinamericaneo or by visiting my website and clicking on the Patreon tab. You'll receive benefits for your support through additional resources aside from my free ones like early access to my episodes, the full financial guides related to my most recent episode, the financial tools that could benefit you like Excel sheets and online resources to help you budget and bring down your debt, stock market posts regarding companies I'm currently looking at, and my overall thought process, which is not financial advice. And of course, time with me to help you to the best of my knowledge with any question that you might have. The content will, of course, be in both English and Spanish. Thank you in advance for your generous support. And with that, let's get today's episode started. Like many immigrants, I had no idea how important U.S. credit history was. However, I quickly came to find out it was a common barrier to many of us. The lack of credit history can interfere with our abilities to get approved for a credit card, applying for a mortgage, or even engaging in other financial transactions. Immigrants are familiar with using cash for everything, but when you come to the United States and you want to get a car or a mortgage or even renting a house, we quickly find out the importance of credit history. Building your credit history can make all of these things easier and even earn you rewards from credit cards. In this episode, I'll be explaining how your US credit score works, where you can start, and strategies that you can implement to improve your score. I'm Kevin Munoz, this is the Leo Podcast, and today is Monday, April 19th. So let's begin by familiarizing ourselves with the concept of credit and credit scores. As some of you might know, or you might come to realize, most people require a loan to purchase a home, buying or leasing a car, or even making any major purchase, really. The lenders that give you the money to buy a car or extend you the credit to make phone calls want to know that they will be paid back on time. To put it simply, building credit is building a positive payment history. A good credit score is a good report of your payment history. It tells future lenders that you have a good record of paying back the money on time. There are three major U.S. credit bureaus: Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. These bureaus collect your credit information. The way the reporting works is when you apply for and get credit, the lender reports the existence of the account and the activity to the credit bureaus. The credit bureaus develop a credit file for each individual that shows which accounts you have, how much you owe, and whether you pay your bills on time. They then distill this information into an easy-to-read number, a credit score. You might come to find out that you have a different credit score for each credit bureau since your score is based on the information that that unique bureau has about you. In general, your credit score should be approximately the same across the three bureaus. Credit bureaus normally match your information using your social security number. Without a social security number, they can use your name, your birth date, current and previous addresses, and even your employment history for matching. Credit scores have a range between 300 and 850, and a credit score of 700 or above is generally considered good. The most common type of credit score is called a FICO score. Generally, lenders will provide better rates to borrowers with good credit scores. Your credit score is based on the following: your payment history, are you paying on time? Your credit utilization, which means the amount of credit extended to you that you actually use. The length of credit history, how long you have had accounts open for. Your credit mix, do you have different types of credit, like your student loan, a car loan, or maybe a mortgage? And the amount of new credit. Do you open new credit accounts only as needed? If you're a new immigrant in the United States, you won't have a credit score, and it might be difficult to obtain loans because of this lack of history. It's important to understand this difference between having a bad credit score and having no credit. If you have no credit history, lenders don't have any information. On the other hand, bad credit is generally the result of late payments, inadequate payments, or no payments at all. Bad credit may take many years to repair, but no credit can be resolved by building credit. In some cases, certain lenders can make loans to immigrants with no credit history. It can take years to build good credit in America. It's definitely doable through diligent effort, but it's not ideal if you need certain loans right away and have recently moved to the United States. You might be surprised to find out that there is another option. If you are new to the United States and want to apply for financial products, you may be able to transfer your credit history from your previous country of residence using Nova Credit. Nova Credit is plugged into the top global consumer credit bureaus to bring your credit to the United States for use by American lenders, property rental companies, and others. Essentially, Nova Credit moves credit reports from countries like Mexico, India, Australia, and the United Kingdom, even others, into equivalent reports for the United States lenders. This allows you to use your international credit file to apply for U.S. loans, apartments, and much more. You can simply visit the Nova Marketplace to see which credit cards you can apply to use your international credit history. In the future, Nova anticipates launching with partners across student loans, car loans, apartment lenders, and much more. Here's a good strategy that I used myself when I was trying to build credit by applying for credit cards at banks, but kept getting denied for not having enough credit history. The first step, unless you're an immigrant authorized for employment in the United States, then you probably don't have a Social Security. If you're not eligible for a Social Security number, you can request an individual taxpayer identification number, an ITIN number. An ITIN can substitute for a Social Security number until you get one. There are several credit companies and loan originators that accept ITINs. Step 2. Since you have little or no credit history to this point, opening a standard line of credit will be difficult or impossible. You might be eligible for a credit card from CreditStax, which is a credit card designed for professionals who recently relocated to the US. However, banks and other lenders generally consider you a risk simply because they don't know anything about you. You can mitigate this risk by offering a collateral. With a secured credit card, you make a deposit, and a credit card company typically issues a card with a spending limit equal to the deposit. In effect, you are borrowing your own money. However, in the process, you are building a credit history. If you use it responsibly, you'll establish a positive credit report and a credit score. Several major companies offer secured credit cards. I personally went with Discover credit card option to start building my credit. Step 3. Another option to developing positive credit history is through a credit builder loan. The way this works is the lender deposits a small amount of money into a secured savings account on your behalf. It's a loan that stays deposited in your savings account. Then, you pay off the loan in monthly payments. After the loan is paid in full, the money in the savings account is yours to use as you please. You've grown your personal savings and established your credit. The credit builder loan isn't used for making a purchase right away. Think of it as a savings account that is also helping you build credit. It's important to note that you will pay an interest rate, but it does foster good saving habits. Most credit builder loans are small. They typically range from $300 to $1,000. This means that you'll have small monthly payments. They are also generally easy to qualify for. If you're a student, you might be able to get a student credit card, so it's definitely worth looking into. Step 4. Once you set up an account, or two, you have to make sure that you establish good habits and demonstrate that you're a reliable and trustworthy borrower. You can do this by going back in the episode and making sure that you understand what your credit score is based on. Things that you can do to improve it include making timely payments, paying your bills on time. This also goes for rent and utility bills. If you are late and have unpaid balances, these companies will often share your payment history with the credit agencies. Unpaid bills can be sold to a collection agency, which would be detrimental to your credit score. If you have obtained a credit card, most companies have an app or way to automatically set up your payments so that they get paid on time even if you forget. just make sure that you have enough money in that account. Using your credit conservatively. Don't use too much credit. Instead, keep your credit utilization low. Credit utilization is how much of your credit limit that you use each month. Many credit experts recommend maintaining credit utilization at 30% of less of your total credit limit. You want to use it, but you don't want to abuse it. Pay your balance in full each month. If you want to use your card more often, you can pay it off multiple times during the month. For example, if your credit limit is $300, try to keep your total charges below $100. If you'd like to use the card before the next billing cycle, pay the $100 before you charge any more. Another of the credit score criteria is account age. Therefore, keep your accounts open for as long as possible. Eventually, you'll need to open another account to continue building credit, buying or leasing a car, or something else. Each new account lowers your average account age. Since having a longer credit history is better for your credit score, avoid opening too many accounts at once. Step 5. Monitor your credit score and credit report. Many websites and credit card companies will allow you to check your credit score for free. You can check your score as much as you want. However, credit reports contain your history. Again, each of the three major credit bureaus will typically maintain a credit report for you. You're able to obtain a copy of your credit report from each of these agencies once a year for free. By monitoring these reports, you can check for any discrepancies that may be negatively affecting your credit score. You can order these reports online from www.annualcreditreport.com, or you can call the number 1-877-322-8228. It can take immigrants with no credit several months to build a positive credit report. Generally, it takes at least 3 months and probably 6 months of activity before a credit score can be calculated. Many immigrants are able to develop a good score within a year. By continuing to maintain accounts and use them responsibly, your credit score will grow over the next few years. If you're an immigrant who has an ITIN number and you already rescinded its use after getting your new social security number, you'll also want to transfer your credit history. Your credit history is not automatically transferred from your ITIN to your social security number. Write a letter to all three credit bureaus explaining that you have a new social security number and would like to transfer your credit history from your ITIN to your social security number. The credit agencies should send you a confirmation that they made the changes within 2 to 4 weeks. After confirmation, you should check your credit reports to confirm that all three credit reporting agencies have made the changes. You're entitled by federal law to a free credit report every 12 months. As mentioned previously, you can access your free credit report at annualcreditreports.com. After that, you should provide your new social security number to financial institutions that you use and ask that your new social security number be applied to your accounts. For bank accounts, you should be able to make the change at your local branch. For credit card companies, call the customer service line to ask about that process. Many immigrants with no U.S. credit history can find loans from $1,000 to $30,000 and annual percentage rates that range from 5.99% to 36%. In many cases, and depending on the lender, funds can be disbursed in as little as 1 day. Of course, you have to be aware that these types of loans usually have really high interest rates that can really put you in debt without realizing it. These options include joining a credit union, using a cosigner, borrowing from a friend or a family member, using a peer-to-peer lender, also known as crowd lending, and private loans. I also want to emphasize that you should stay away from predatory loans like payday loans, which a lot of our community tend to use. If you're interested in why you should stay away from payday loans, you can listen to my episode 11, completely dedicated to why payday loans are horrible for our community and how they take advantage of minorities and immigrants. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and a follow on Spotify. It helps me tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinaAmericaNeo. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, LatinaAmericaNeo.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time. This podcast is not investment advice, and I am not a qualified licensed investment advisor. All information on here, including any ideas, opinions, views, predictions, forecasts, commentaries, suggestions, or stock picks expressed or implied are for informational, entertainment, or educational purposes only, and should not be construed as personal investment advice. Conduct your own due diligence or consult a licensed financial advisor or broker before making any and all investment decisions. Any investments, trades, speculations, or decisions made on the basis of any information found on this podcast, expressed or implied, are committed at your own risk, financial or otherwise.